Welcome to our podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. For more information about NCCF, log on to newcovenantchristianfellowship.com. Thank you and God bless.
If you have a Bible with you, why don't you open up to Matthew 11? And I have some stuff I want to share with you from there that I could really share about 3 weeks, but I don't think you want to sit here that long. It's one of these passages that just is perfect for where people are at, depending on their situation. But and I want to talk to you about, you know how it is with the Christmas, you know, you get invitations. How many of you got invitations for a party or a family gathering or something, right? Now it's a whole new ballgame, right? You get Evites, right? Somebody, everything's Evite, so that those who are controllers can get responses. That's what that's all about, right? I got an Evite from my brother in Chicago, and they're going to have 55 people at their house, all kinds of people, and I'm thankful I'm not going to Chicago this year for that party. But isn't it fun? You always get those, and you always feel like, well, that's kind of neat. That's pretty cool that they invite. And of course, my brother, I would hope he'd invite me. I've been going there for years and years and years. But you always still feel like something, wow, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? You know, a special invitation. And I think this passage is one of the most special invitations in the whole New Testament, if not the best. And just because it's familiar to you, don't pass by some of the amazing things. It's incredible in terms of the richness. It's 11, we're talking about Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Just in a few short verses, Jesus says so much in there about his heart. And just those few, that's the thing that's amazing about Jesus. He simplifies some amazing things. And he says it in just a few verses. Where really, we could take a week on each verse. And you would say, why are you beating that thing to death? And no, I'm not trying to beat it to death. The more you unravel it, the more you find. And I want to show, the other reason my motivation for that is, I've used that verse so many times with people, and part of my desire is to equip you a little bit today, because so many people will come to you and say exactly what's on their heart if you're in the right place, right? And part of my ministry, I've worn several different hats. I've been a missionary. I've been a truck driver. I'm still a truck driver. I've been a chaplain for companies. I was a chaplain for 6 companies in Chicago. It was a crazy deal. They actually hired us to minister to their people for free and give them business cards and an 800 number for them and for their family. And so it was crazy because you get called from people and they got your business card. And literally, you can come to them with anything comes up. It's kind of scary because they're like, I hope I remember your name, number one. At one time, I had 650 employees that had my business card. These companies, I thought, this is crazy, man. What are we doing? Of course, you know the percentages are a very few of them are open to, you know, they're afraid of you. They see you as whatever you are, right? But there's few that will call you, and there's an issue comes up. I had several people that I really had fun with where they wanted to get married, and they didn't have a church. And so it's really fun because then you can get involved in their life. You can meet their spouse, and you get to do premarital counseling with these people. And it's really weird. I don't know about you guys. This is really weird. I've been married almost 37 years, still trying to figure out what I'm doing. And we'll let that go. We don't have time for that. But these people would come, and they would come for marriage counseling. I think of this one guy, Jason, great guy. He's a mechanic for a VW dealer. And he comes with his girlfriend. She's never met me before. And they bring their one-year-old little daughter. And this was very, very common for premarital counseling. And I'm thinking, now, how much am I going to say with the one-year-old here? How is this going to work? And it was just so bizarre. So I would meet them in Panera. But it was great because I got to know them. I got to share with them things. And I want to tell you, probably the number one requested verse after talking to all those people was Matthew 11. So the blessing for you is that you can share that to people because people will come to you and say, ugh, I've got through the Christmas season, I'm weary, I'm overburdened, I'm blah, 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 blah. And they will tell you what their needs are. What our problem is, we're nervous, right? Or we haven't been trained or whatever, and we think, I've got to tell him all this stuff. No, you don't. No, you don't. Share with them what God has done in your life. Share one passage with them and wait. And this one is always, because people will always say, you know what I'd like to help you with? I'd like to help you understand the heart of Jesus. I've never heard anyone complain to me about that, ever. They'll complain about church. They'll complain about whatever. They'll complain about versions, King James versions, all this blah, blah, blah stuff that's way out there that is really meaningless. The truth is, can you say something to me about the heart of Jesus? And they will come back. What does Jesus say in this verse, okay? You guys could probably even say it with me, right? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is enough in itself, isn't it? These days, right? I'd like to write a postcard to people in California right now. Hey, how's their weather going? Need a little rest? Right there. Jesus, the heart of Jesus, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. All who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's amazing. It's amazing in itself, right? And what else does he say after that? Take my yoke upon you, right? Learn from me. This is an NASB version. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me for what? I'm gentle and humble in heart. One of the few passages Jesus talked about his heart. But we'll get there. Hold that. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. For what? You shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. There's a lot in there, isn't it? There's a lot in there. Right? The first thing I just want you to think about is you think of Jesus, we think as who all that we've talked about and we know. You know what the next verse in that song is, by the way, that we sang? He sang, come, let's adore him. Let's says what? He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. And the amazing thing for us is it's like a spinning approach. The more we learn, the more we realize that it's true, right? He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. Because we've seen the depth and the riches of his heart come through, right? And I'm just amazed that you think as a God of heaven, number one, we get invites and we like the invites. God in heaven is inviting us. Come to me. Continually says that. Come to me. He's quoting something from Isaiah 55. He's quoting something from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. He just says, come to me, you who have no money. Come to me and drink. Remember that? Come buy milk with no money. Come and buy it. It's free. He's quoting Isaiah 55. Some of Jesus' favorite verses are some of my favorite verses. I love Isaiah, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, no question. No question. He quotes Isaiah a lot. Quotes Isaiah a lot. Come to me. It's free. That in itself is unbelievable, isn't it? The heart of God. It's amazing, the heart of God. Any of you guys up at the Bible College, you taking any courses on Christianity and comparative religion? You take that yet? All right, I'm going to save you the whole thing. Don't sign up for the course. Here's the nutshell. There is no comparison with Jesus. No other religion, no other person compares with Jesus. Case closed. That's the end of this course. Christianity and comparative religion. They don't compare. Thank you. They don't compare to his heart. He invites us over and over again, come to me. Come to me. I want to give you rest. Oh, yeah, but I'll figure it out. Isn't that so funny? We are so amazing, aren't we? I'll figure it out. I got a master's degree. I got all this experience. And then Jesus kind of goes, when you're done, I'm going to put you in a situation where your master's experience means nothing because you're going to be overwhelmed, it's going to be over you, and you're going to have to come to me because I want to put you in that spot to show you myself. And I want to put you in that spot to show you my heart for these people. When people say something that is exactly what you're thinking, right? God's prepared you for that. So part of the equipping process is to recognize if you take a simple passage like this and you just think about it, and ask God to use it. What does it say to my heart? You know what's going to happen? What happened? God's going to bring someone to you who's going through those same things. It happens all the time. Let that be a little click, little surprise to you. God's in this. This person is saying exactly what I'm thinking. I mean, so many times I've talked to people like that, and I felt like, uh-oh, your first response, you get this little shaken feeling. What am I going to say? Believe it or not, I'm at a loss for words. It does happen. And then all of a sudden, God will say to me, remember that thing we just talked about? That's for them. That's all it says. And the person says, how did you know I was thinking about that? Well, God, I think God arranged this meeting. That's all you have to say. And people will just look at you. I've had two things that people have done with me. It's been really so much fun. They look at you when you say, you know, I think God has arranged this meeting. And they look at you with a stunned look on your face. And you know God is in that.
Right.
But the second thing is, do you know how many times has someone said to you, would you pray for me? Right? You should. Or would you pray this? Or, you know, Ken's kind of my prayer buddy. I said, hey, pray, I'm preaching this week. Pray for me. It's always great. I always know he's praying for me. You can say to people, I say, hey, my friend Jason, when he told me that thing was going on about his wedding, I said, Jason, I want to pray for you and for your marriage. And he was just like, I wish I could show you his face. He's like, you're going to pray for me? And Bob, I'm just a mechanic. I said, that's exactly right. I'm going to pray for you. And it's crazy, the look on this guy's face. It really was. And a couple weeks later, his grandfather, who was really the patriarch of his family, came down with some really serious cancer. And he was just devastated. This guy, now think about this. This is not in a church. This is in a Volkswagen dealership. And this guy's repairing a Volvo or whatever he's doing. Not a Volvo, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a Fox or whatever all those Golfs and VW names, right? That are always on the rack. They're not on the street, they're on the rack. But he goes, Bob, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. My grandfather is really struggling. Man, I can't even work. That's exactly what he said. And I was like, thank God. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to this guy. And thankfully, the owner gave me the permission that I could pull him aside and spend 45 minutes to just let this guy just dump on me about his grandfather and how upset he was, how shook up he was. He had no place to go. And you know what I said? Hey, you know what, Jason? Jesus' heart has come to me when you're weary and heavy laden. And you've helped him. You've helped him, and it's not a big deal, right? And now what's that done? You've not only helped him, you've shown him that God's word speaks to reality, but it speaks to him, right? It speaks to him. Did he accept Christ? Did he become this flaming churchgoer? No. Think about where this guy was. I mean, if this is a cross, you know, think about that. If this is him coming to Christ, this guy's like way the heck over here in a Volkswagen dealership. I mean, you know? And so we expect people who are way the heck over here, so you know, trust Jesus, come all the way over here. Get real. Come on, will you? The guy's way the heck over here. He's lucky to come here, right? And just think that Jesus has something to say to me is huge for a guy like that, right? And then and Jesus' word has something to say to me. So what you do is, this is extra steps. You and I don't help people come to Christ immediately. That doesn't happen. And not in my experience. I don't know about you. We help people take a step towards Christ. All right? You help them take a step towards Christ. And then they keep stepping towards Christ until by the time they get to the cross, they're like, I got it. Thank you. But it's steps in the process along the way. All right? It's not this big, huge leap of faith. These guys got too much baggage. They don't even know what you're talking about. You know, just give them, just realize, give them a break. You know, but you can be a part. The other side of it, the flip side is, you can say a passage like this, wow, Jesus wants to speak to you and watch their eyes light up. Merry Christmas. That's fun, isn't it? I mean, that's fun to watch their eyes light up and go, wow, this Jesus, there's something to this. There's something to this. It's not just this crazy stuff. Well, besides that whole thing about invitation, now think about the second part of this. He says, take my yoke upon you, which we don't talk about too much. It's agricultural. It means get in step with me. Like those double yoke that a horse, that a cattle would have. You know, you and me together, right? Take my yoke upon you. Actually, how it says in the Message, I like the Message version. He says, it's back there somewhere. It's coming. He He says, basically, get in step with me. Get in step with me. Learn from me, and it will flow from you, basically. That's what it says. Isn't that cool? Get in step with me and learn from me. Now, you and I can do that, right? Because we're in step with Jesus. Who better to be in step with? So the matter of fact is, you know what, Jesus? Today, we might need to say, I feel kind of out of step. I feel like I'm not in sync. We would say, are you in sync, right? It's okay to say to Jesus, you know what, Jesus, it's Monday. I am not in sync with you. And I think Jesus delights in that. Don't you? Come on, just tell me how you're doing. You know what? I don't want to be here. Nah, today. I want to be here. Right? But I think Jesus delights when you say, you know what, Jesus, I want to get in sync with you, and I just don't get it. I really don't get it. And I think Jesus is delighted in that because it's just like, cut the garbage. Tell me how you're doing. I know how you're doing. Tell me anyway. You know, Jesus say, I'm weary and heavy laden, and I don't feel like a whole lot. I'm getting a whole lot of rest. Great. That's a great starting point. I've never heard Jesus say to me, oh, you big dummy. Or stop it. Or get over yourself. It's always, I will give you rest. I want to give you rest. That's what it's talking about, learning from me. Getting in step with me and learning from me. Or, Lord, you know what? I'm going to see Jason today. I don't have a word to say. I don't know what to say. And Jesus says, okay, I do. Get out of the way. I'll give you something to say. And it's amazing how many times that happens. I've been so amazed at how many times God has done giving me the words to say. You walk into a hospital room with somebody. I hate going to hospital rooms. How many of you guys love that, you know? Let's go to ICU. Oh, great. That same dealer, that Volkswagen dealer, the guy was a neat guy. He was a Filipino guy. He owned this place. His mother and father, his father got really sick. And, of course, he had a dealership a long way away, and it was an hour and a half each way to go to the hospital. And, of course, he calls me. And it's an hour and a half. I got to go down and see this guy's father. I've never met his father. I don't really want to go. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what Chicago's like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon going into the city? It's going to be an hour and a half each way, okay? Now, there's joy in serving Jesus. Here I go. So I go there. This guy's just, you know, his dad, turns out his father was dying. And he was in his early 70s, and there wasn't a whole lot really could really do for him. And so, but as on the way there, after I got over myself, God put a passage in my heart from Isaiah 43. Do not fear, for I am with you. When you go through the fire, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, I will be with you. So I said, well, Lord, I'm trying to get a good attitude. Once I walk in the door, of the hospital, I go up the elevator, and he says, you know, I need a verse to share with my dad. What should I do? I think God just gave me a verse in Isaiah 43 for you. So I go to the guy's wake. He dies about 2 weeks later. This guy prints up a thing about his father and all this stuff. And the front page is this verse in Isaiah 43 that I had shared with him in the hospital. And I didn't want to be there. I got a chance to share the gospel at his father's funeral and led 5 Filipino relatives to Christ. And I didn't really want to be there either because I was in the right place at the right time. God gave me something to say. Isn't that amazing? Then what happens 3 weeks later? His mother dies. I don't want to go there either. Back to the hospital. Truth be told, we don't really like going to hospitals. I mean, I don't know about you. It's depressing. It's hard, you know? But once you get in the doors, it's okay. It's just the thought of it, right? So an amazing thing I share that with you is the reason that worked is because I learned from Jesus, and he took me into the hospital, and he gave me the words to say. He took me to the funeral, he gave me the words to say. Now, you know, that's what God does. That's what he wants to do, right? Because that's when we can say this is an incredible thing. God does this incredible stuff, right? But what does it say? It says, learn from me. Now, what can you do with that? That's a big thing, isn't it? The two commands in there, come to me is not a command. That's kind of interesting. If it was the Pharisees or the rabbis, come to me would have been a command. Come to me, be here all the time. That would have been their command. That's not a command if you look at the passage. What it says, learn from, it says, take my yoke upon me. That's a command. Take my yoke upon me is a command. Learn from me is a command. Those are the only two commands in that passage. It says, it literally would say, begin to take my yoke upon me now, upon you now. Begin to learn from me now. That's literally what it says. So what does that mean for you and me? One of the things we can delight in is, Lord, help me to find a passage. Help me to find either this passage or another passage that I can learn from you. What does that mean? I want to know what you say. I don't know about you. I've listened to all kinds of people. I don't want to know what they say. I don't know what Jesus says. Let's go straight to the source, right? We go straight to the source. Jesus, again, is delighted in that. What is Isaiah 9? That's that familiar passage, right, for Christmas. Isaiah. Right? Unto us, a son is given. Unto us, a son is born, right? The government shall rest on his shoulders. And then the good part. He will be called what? Wonderful Counselor. Think about this. Stop. Don't listen to me. Hear these words. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. I hope I can get through this. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Have you thought about that stuff? Think about that. I'd encourage you this week as your friend, think about one of those. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor is not wonderful and counselor. Wonderful is descriptive of counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Think about that this whole week. It'll change your Christmas. He's a wonderful counselor. And the nice part about it is we can say, I'm not. He is a wonderful counselor. He's told me what to say to you, for you. He's the mighty God. It's compound. It's the Lord Almighty is what that means. The mighty God. The mighty God approaches us, says, come to me. Have coffee with me. Learn from me. The Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. A father who's there. My father, I have 7 kids in my family. My father just basically coped until he could get to the Michelob. And I asked him one time, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? How'd you raise 7 kids? He said, Michelob. Did I ever tell you guys that? I said, yeah, okay. That's true. That's funny. How'd you do it? He said, I'm telling you the truth, Michelob is how I did it. Then I wanted to leave the room. Well, that was true. That's how he did it. But in his economy, his father, my grandfather, Tim, was this kind of big old Irish guy. He was a railroad guy, immigrant, had the Irish brogue, all that stuff. He was a whiskey drunk. He was the only Irishman I've ever heard of. They sent back to Ireland to clean him up. I swear. He was so bad. He was such a bad drunk. They sent him back to Ireland to work on the potato farms to clean him up because he was such a bad whiskey drunk. It's a true story. And that's my heritage, praise the Lord. But I've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son. And I don't even like whiskey. And I don't have to say to my kids, it's because of Michelob. Nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Pick one of those. Just pick one of those and say, God, you know what? I don't really know. I don't really get that. Would you help me to learn that? And you will be on. You better take notes. You're going to have something to say. He's going to teach you that. He's going to teach you that at your heart level. At your heart level, that you're going to know at your heart level that he's the everlasting Father. You're going to know he's a wonderful counselor. You're going to know at your heart level he's a Prince of Peace. You know what happens is? You know what happens? What happens then? Nobody can take that away from you. And nobody can touch that area of your life because you have heard that from the King. You hear me? You've heard that at your heart level from the King. The Prince of Peace has sat down and said to you, I'm going to be to you the Prince of Peace. You will not be the same. You'll forget it, because that's what we do. But you need to say, remind me, who are you? God loves that prayer. Remind me, who are you? One of the ones that I love, I got to hurry up here. One of the things I did before I went overseas is years ago, I went overseas and I was kind of, it was kind of a big job, bigger than me. And I studied something in Joshua, and it was really cool because it talked about Joshua being ready to walk into this situation, knowing it was bigger than him. I mean, who wants to follow Moses? Really? Think about that, right? And yet, who shows up? Do you remember before he went to scout out the walls? Who shows up? All of a sudden, there's someone there who's a mighty warrior. Remember that in Joshua? He goes up, he goes to scout out the walls, and there's this guy with a sword who's like this awesome dude. And he's like, Joshua, fortunately, is smart enough to say, are you for us or against us? Remember that story? I think that's a good question, don't you? I think he was backing up a little bit. But what does God, this one, you get a hold of this. What it talks about in God says the Lord of hosts appeared to him. The Lord of hosts appeared to him. In the Living Bible, it says the commander of the angel armies appeared to him. Whoa, dude. Now he knows I'm going to this thing. This guy's on my side. This guy's the commander of the armies of heaven. Let's do it. And that's what God will do. And so what God said to me? Guess what? You're going to Indonesia. You don't know what you're getting into. I'm the commander of the armies of heaven. I'm going right before you. Let's do it. I was like, holy cow. Because it was a personal thing to me. I was like, are you talking to me? Right? It's like you, Ty, man, you go to Pakistan, you better know the commander of the armies of heaven is in front of you. You got to know that, man. You're walking into stuff you don't know. Right? You don't know what you're walking into. I walk into this thing, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it because God's in it. I get there. The guy I'm supposed to work with, part of my thought was, hurry up with this, I want to work with this guy together because I want to be a team. This guy loses his visa 6 months after we're in the country. I'm in charge. No. No, 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 no. That's not the plan. God, I have a visa for 3 years, so I did one of those before God. God. And you know what? I loved it. It was awesome. I got to minister in three different cities and live in the middle, and my kids loved it. I got to do about 5 years worth of ministry in 3 years. I was like, God, don't let me screw this up. You know? I mean, you're in something like that, and you're like, holy cow, God, thank you. How privileged I am to be a part of this. Why is that? Because you will go when the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, says to you, the Lord of the heavenly armies is for you and is with you. Same is true for you. So, Prince, pick one of those. Pick one of those. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And ask yourself, what does that look like for me this year? One, just one. I'm doing Wonderful Counselor. It's so much fun. There's a lot of stuff in there. All right, that'll be for another time. Yeah. Last part about this, I got to finish with this. It says, he will give you, as if I haven't said enough. You see what it says he will give you in the last part of that verse? Rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Now, I don't know about you. I've already said enough. I looked at that passage and it says, I'm not done. And you shall find rest for your souls. Whoa, baby. Really? You shall find rest for your souls. Wow, what a payoff. That means now. God, by the Spirit of God, wants you to find rest for your souls. It doesn't mean rest from everything. Nothing happens. I eat bonbons or whatever. Sit in the corner. No, that means at your soul level, you're at rest. At your soul level. How many people do you know walking around like that these days? There should be. Shouldn't there? If Jesus will say to me, hey, I want you to have rest for your souls. I want you to have rest in your soul. That's a deep, settled. That's more than peace, right? You can have that. And you can have that. And the people you come in contact with in Christmas say, what's up with you? Say, how much time you got? Right? Here's one you can say to people, please. Think about where people are at. And all the people you come, you get overwhelmed, right? Think about this. Everyone needs rest for their soul. Everyone. Everyone needs peace for their soul. So all you need to say is, hey, this Christmas you got peace, or are you still looking for it? Just ask them. I'm gonna. It's all you have to do. Really. People will first think, what is it? What is it? Is it peppermint mocha you're drinking or what? Right. But ask him, have the Prince of Peace has come to your life. Have you seen it? That's all you got to say. Right? Now here's the point. Oh, they're going to say they're going to make me feel like a dope. No, they're not. They're not even going to know what you're thinking about. They're really not. Don't give them that much credit. Okay? The reality is, though, you're going to get them to think. All you want to do is get people to think. Have you had? Jesus promises rest for your souls. Have you had it? Jesus promises peace for your soul. Have you found it? That's all you have to ask him. And people will give you funny comments. You can tell. But here's the point. Here's the point. They will start thinking about that. They will start considering that. And that's what you want to do by the Spirit of God. You know, you'll come back and you know what happens? They'll say, you know, I remember you asked me that question. You'll be going, what? I forgot completely. And that's fine. But that's the thing that will get people to start thinking, do you have rest for your soul? Not really. You know, I'm going to Blue Light Special. I mean, come on, really? And you've done them a huge favor. You've done them a huge favor. Do you have peace with God? Oh, I'd love to help you with that. Now they know two things. You ask dumb questions and you are there for them. You're there for them. Because you can just simply say, you know what? There's two things that happened to me. I saved people that simply, I never had peace with God and I never had a purpose for my life. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. People look at you first and they go, right? But then they go, wait a minute. I'd like to have peace with God. How'd you do that? How'd you find out about that? Now, isn't it so much easier when people ask you? Why not? They ask you, you know, where did you find out about peace with God? Great, let's take a look. I mean, really, it's easy to find. I can help you find that. By the Spirit of God, you'll get the words to say, and you might have fun in the process. Wouldn't that be cool? Right? And God, all of a sudden, will show up. Jesus will show up. You'll learn from him what to say and what not to say. You ask people questions and stir up their thinking. But the fun part about it is they get it, and they'll begin to think, wow, this Prince of Peace is available to me. That is so cool, huh? So I just encourage you to take, I'm going to leave it at that, but just take one of those sections. Just think about, God, how are you? Who have you been to me lately? Have you been a wonderful counselor to me? I want to learn from you. Have you been a Prince of Peace? Have you been an everlasting Father? Have you been a mighty God? Fill in the blanks for me, God. Boy, God is really good at filling in the blanks. He likes to do that. It's pretty cool. And you'll have something to say, and we'll put you all up here and put you on the spot. Wouldn't that be fun? Pass the mic around, huh? Well, let me pray, and then Jason's going to come up. He's got something, too. So let's just pray. Thanks for your time, you guys. God, thank you. You are an incredible God. You are an awesome God. Thank you that you are a God who invites us to come to you. That's just so much of your heart. It's just incredible. That you are gentle and humble in heart, and you allow us to come to you, and you want to show us your heart. So, Lord, we ask that you would do that. And we trust you that as we do, we'd be able to say, wow, God, thank you for showing up. Thank you for giving me just a credible view of who you are in my, at my heart level as well. So we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Father just put this on my heart the last couple of days to share with you. It's actually from something that Brian Fenimore said several months back. And it's Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. The thing he wanted me to share with you was the same thing that Brian shared, and it really changed my thought process on this. I always thought of it kind of like a little bit of a warning. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I should probably not hope in much, because what if my hope is deferred? My heart will be sick, right? I always thought that the deferring part was something that happened to me. It was external pressures that caused my hope to be deferred. But what Brian shared, and I really have been thinking on it for months now, the deferring part is actually something we do. We hope in something, and then at some point we think, that's not worth hoping in anymore. I will defer my hope. And then our hearts become sick. We have lots to hope in. The Father has blessed us with many things, and he's made promises to us. He's made promises to us as a nation. He's made promises to us as his children. He's made promises to us personally. Hope in those things. Don't defer your hope. Fight for your hope. When you feel like there's no hope in it, say, no, I will not defer my hope. The Father's promised this. I'm going to keep it. I had a couple other verses, but I'm going to instead just read this one, and it was read last time Bob spoke, or last time I heard you speak, and it was read this morning, and I want to read it to you as a blessing over you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.